And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This is the word of the Lord, and he will most certainly add his abundant, gracious, and magnified blessing to the reading of this is holy truth. Let us pray. Most blessed and gracious Father in God, the Father and God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in him, in our Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed and sacrifice given, who suffered the wrath upon that tree of a debt he did not owe, for a debt that we owe but could not pay. In his name we come before you, Lord, and thank you that you have given us this word and given us your Son and have saved us, wretches that we are, that we may glorify you. We ask you, Father, to be exalted as you are exalted all, above all the earth. We ask you that you be exalted in our holy assembly, and that our holiness may be reflected upon because of your presence, and that thou art holy. And as you command us to be holy, for you are holy, we submit unto the holiness that is thy presence, and ask you to minister unto us the perspectives of your truth in the portion that we have read. May Christ be exalted. May his cross be the salvation that saves, certainly. And may, Lord God, may Heavenly Father, you be glorified in the midst of your people this evening and every morning and evening until Jesus comes. In his name we pray. Amen. The interesting thing of these times concerning the book of Revelation is there's a lot of people that are interested in what's going on in the end. And they take great care to look at the great details that are in the last book of the Bible. But if they had looked at the great details as we had when we looked at this on Sunday night, because for me to preach what I was preaching on Sunday night required that we have an understanding of the details in order that the greatness, the magnitude, the splendor of the cross of Jesus Christ would be all in all, that it is. I don't see how they could get so caught up in the minutiae and not see the great glories of Christ and him crucified in the book of Revelation. I am mystified. But then again, since it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and revelation truth must come by the revelation of the Holy Spirit ministering unto us of its truth and its magnitude, then I can say it isn't but by the grace of God that I can see it, Lord. Otherwise, I'll look at it. I'll get caught up in details and not see the Christ. And here, the thing that is amazing, I want to point out of some minor things, but we want to look at the most important thing that has been said. Worship God in verse 10. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. In that portion that we had read, most important, It's interesting that John would fall down at the feet of a fellow servant, and I suggest that as he goes through the veil of eternity and he sees all these things, that which we have been seeing in the book of Revelation, that everything points to Christ and everything becomes Christ-like as we're being conformed to the image of Christ. Here is a foreshadow of someone who looks so much like Christ that in his frail zeal, because John is still but a man seeing a vision, he falls down. This is Christ. As even though he knows it's not, because of the frailty of flesh. And that makes the words that this fellow servant says that much more powerful. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Why does he say that? Because this, in these days most especially, this is a great, not just a doctrinal portion for us, but experimental, something that we can experience in these days moreover than any other time, because we're that much closer to the return of the Lord. Here John has been transported, even as Moses was before was seeing the instructions for the tabernacle were given, because this is what heaven looks like, the dwelling place of God. And though I heard it said recently that many people don't preach on hell anymore, but they don't even actually, instead, they don't even preach on heaven. And in fact, if you even hear somebody preach on heaven, they don't preach on a heaven that is the Bible. It's not a heaven that's heavenly, because the only thing that makes heaven heaven is the glorified Son of God in the presence that makes wherever He is heaven. Heaven came down by God becoming a man, born of a babe, living a righteous life and going to that tree and paying that debt, and then rising again the third day, ascending into heaven. And heaven wasn't not heaven where God the Father was dwelling, but how much more glorious. Return me unto the glory that I once knew to you was his prayer in John 17. And it didn't make heaven less heavenly, but there was a completion because of the pause for 33 and a half years as one member of the triune Godhead walked upon earth and dwelt among men. An amazing thing. It staggers the mind. They weren't separate. They were one. And heaven didn't become heaven, but we have to realize that if the focus of our salvation and all that our redemption and very life itself is in Jesus Christ, then to not glorify His being glorified as the Son of God, that's not heavenly. It's not heavenly. And so John, transported, seeing the images of heaven, seeing the gospel from beginning to end in each scenario, being able to bring forth unto seven churches a complete message, unto a representation of churches not only locally at the time but also through the age, and let them know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and He is the reward, and He is the King of their lives, and that He is very God, and the salvation of their souls. And then transported, hearing a voice, come up hither, and a door opened, even as the church and the last church represented had a door closed. And he comes up and sees the heavenly majesty of He who sits upon the throne in such brilliance that he can only describe it with the use of colors and the tint of the rainbow that comes forth from the glorious radiance of Jesus Christ, until his fleshly eyes could become adjusted to the vision. And then he sees these scenarios and unfolding bit after bit, piece after piece, verse after verse, line upon line, and precept upon precept, chapter by chapter. He sees the gospel unfold from beginning to end, and he sees it beginning to end, until he gets to this point where the harlot, which is that which is all things religious, that throws its filthy arrogance and fleshly pride and idolatry and adultery in the face of Jesus Christ and says, this is the church of the living God. When that is finally destroyed and John has seen all this, he is told, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now we know, because we've read beyond chapter 19. Chapter 19 is pivotal because here the Lamb's bride is being prepared for the marriage of the Lamb, is ready in verse 7. And he will see a new heaven and a new earth. He will see the new Jerusalem come down. He will see sights like he has never seen before. And so it makes the words that are spoken by this fellow servant in all its glory as a testimony, as it were, from me to you, as a fellow servant, as one who has been a martyr, as our Christ was martyred, as he was a witness of the Father and gave his life that we might be able to be here. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus as a spirit of prophecy. That cling to. That hang on to. All the things that you've seen, they are good, and you have the gospel and the knowledge of that and the vision of that and even the experience of that is great and good, and we cannot say too many things that are so wonderful about it. But worship God for the testimony of Jesus Christ as the spirit of prophecy. Though you're not finished yet, John, and though you're going to see the new heaven and new earth, you're going to see the old heaven and earth destroyed before you, and the new one come to life, and you'll see a river of life coming forth from the throne of God, and you'll see the brilliance of the brightness of the Son of God being in place of even the sun, because His brightness, He is light that even gives the light its strength. And its light and its life-giving forces. He is all life. And though you will see that, worship God for the Spirit, for the testimony of Jesus Christ as a spirit of prophecy. Always, always, and always is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the very center of everything to explode unto all things. If it is not given its place, but to hold all things together, when by grace we see those things that God has given, and they'll make sense because it is that we worship God. Because the testimony of Jesus Christ, the witness of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, and the work of Jesus Christ, His testimony is that which holds all things together and makes things make sense. And apart from that, we will be only confused. We will be babblers in our proclamation of the gospel. We will be scrambled in our thinking, in our thoughts and meditations and study of the gospel. We will be emotional wrecks and in despair and saddened beyond all hope apart from that truth that is central. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the testimony of Him is the spirit of all prophecy. And what a reminder that is, that though we see things going this way and that way, though people would want to get on to the knowledge that we have of the doctrines of grace and the coming of Christ and the truth of the gospel, we need to keep it at the gospel. Fantastic as some of the things are that we will see, wonderful as the things are that we have seen, but the gospel is always that much more precious. And if those things have meaning that have been passed, and those things have hope that are coming only because of the gospel, when the gospel is separated from those things, we have a future that is bereft of hope, and we have a past that is stagnant in all death. Only in Christ, the testimony of Jesus Christ as a spirit of prophecy, is there any life at all in things past, in things present, and things future? Let's pray. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, I think I didn't lie to Brother Gene. I said I don't have a long devotion, but I think it's a good one. And this is a passionate message, Lord. It's one that in our frailty and in the corruptions of our flesh, we tend to sometimes dismiss because of its simplicity. We pray, Father, that we may hang on because You have abounded grace. You have poured out and sprinkled grace upon us from heaven. May that pour out upon us that it may pour out upon others, and may our presence bring the reign of Elijah unto those people that are walking and dwelling in a dry and thirsty land where no hope is. We pray that the hope of the gospel come forth in the blessed truth of a preparation as unto the spirit of Elijah, as John was, may we also be as John was, that we may decrease, that he may increase, in Jesus' name. Amen.